We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Longtime NFL writer out of New York, Gary Myers, with the Bull and the Fox. Gary, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
No problem. How are you guys doing? I hope everybody's doing well and staying safe.
Yeah, I mean, here, it's, you know, we're in pretty good shape in, you know, in this city and in this state. I know New York is, you know, really bad right now. How are you and your family holding up?
Well, we're doing good. I live about 35 miles from the city, Adam, you know, in Westchester. Yeah. You know where that is.
Yep.
So, really, the first bad spot was in a town,
New Rochelle,
New
right?
Rochelle, where it spread and they had to contain the whole area, and now New York City is just, it's the epicenter of the world right now in terms of this virus, and it's I'm just afraid of, you know, for now it's getting worse before it gets better, and boy, I hope it gets better soon.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of holding our breath right now. Hopefully, are people staying? You know, I know you live in Westchester County, but like, I just hope people are staying off the streets and doing the right things. Hopefully, enough people have finally smartened up.
You know, I've been in the city a couple times, but just like to pick up my kids who live in the city because they wanted to come home for a while to kind of get a new stare at four different walls. And usually, my ride into the city, depending on traffic, could take an hour to an hour and 10 minutes. I've made a door-to-door to one of my daughter's apartments the other night in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And I didn't hit the brake on my car until I actually got into the city and came to a red light.
Right.
And that never happened. So people are staying home. And in the city, it really looked deserted. I mean, you see a couple people walking here and there, and there are cars on the streets, but not anything like it usually is. And I never thought I'd be happy to see traffic again in New York, but that would be a sign that things are coming back to normal, and I'm not sure when that's happening.
Gary, of course, we want to talk about your tweet and your comments on what you're hearing on the NFL season this year.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, it seems like right now football and sports take a backseat to everything that's going on, but you know, we're still talking sports. Sports is still going on. The NFL still plans to have their draft. And with, you know, September looming, are there any plans? Are they talking about anything? Or are they just being naive to the fact that they could not possibly start this season on time?
No, I mean, my tweet this morning was that they were planning on playing 16 games. And Jeff Pasch, one of the league vice presidents, came out this afternoon and said they were planning on starting on time with fans in the stadiums and playing a 16-game season. My tweet this morning was they were going to play a 16-game season. They were planning on playing 16 games. They hadn't discussed any contingency plans to this date with any of the teams, but the person I had spoken to said, you know, there's obviously a good chance the season's going to be delayed, in which case, you know, it can just be pushed back. And the advantage the NFL has over some of the other sports, if anything could be advantage in a circumstance like this, is they do have a safety net on the other end in February and March that they can easily play in if need be. And maybe that's something, you know, the fans certainly would embrace that. If the season had to start 6 weeks late, but went 6 weeks later, I think fans can certainly live with that if they got a full season in. But I don't think the people in the NFL office are sitting around saying, you know, looking out the window and saying, oh, we see 10 people on the street today as opposed to 8 yesterday, that means good things must be happening. I mean, they're pretty bright people on Park Avenue, and I'm sure they got all kinds of contingency plans set up. They're just not, at this point, making it public or even to the point of telling the teams what they have in mind. But, you know, at the point that they feel that it's necessary for the teams to know exactly what's going to happen, I mean, they're not going to hold that from them.
We're talking with Gary Myers, longtime NFL reporter. Gary, you know, the league has decided to go on with free agency, with the draft. At first, my thought was, I don't know if it's the best idea, but now I think we're all kind of happy about it because at least it gives us a pinch of normalcy in a world of craziness. Do you like that they're going to have the draft, even though it's a little more complicated? I think the GM should stop whining. What do you think about it?
Yeah, Adam, I think the only people that aren't excited about the draft coming up are the general managers who their research has been impeded here. And, you know, those top 30 visits that each team gets, those are important to get a guy in your building and see how he interacts with the coaching staff. I mean, there's interviews at the combine, but it's different when you're not on the clock like they are at the combine. I think it's, you know, 20 minutes or so you get with each player. And then those workouts are important, especially for, you know, players who are overcoming injury or those who weren't invited to the combine. It's an opportunity for them to get on the radar of some teams that maybe they weren't, you know, coming out of the combine. So other than the GMs and the scouts and whatnot, under the circumstances, I think everybody is really looking forward to the draft. You know, one thing I was going to tell you is that prior to free agency, my initial thought was, boy, this is really a bad look for the NFL.
Yeah.
So many businesses are struggling. So many individuals are struggling. And now these teams are going to go out and give $30, $40 million guaranteed to players who don't deserve it. And, you know, how does that make the NFL look? And I thought about it for a couple of days, and I really decided, in at least in my own mind, that fans look at the money as monopoly money under any circumstances.
Yep.
I mean, it's not real to all of us. Most of us, probably 99.9% of us, when a player gets a $5 million signing bonus, you know, not to mention a $30 million signing bonus. So if you push the money part of it aside, I think for, you know, a week there, people, it gave them a sport to follow, even though there were no games, that they're more interested in what players is my team going to sign or who are we losing. And the money part, which was the bad look to it, was really secondary. So I thought free agency came along at a good time that created a diversion. It is a little bit to a certain extent now, even though it's obviously slowed down. And I really think that football fans are really excited about the draft and, you know, starting a couple of weeks before the first round on April 23rd, when all the stories and the ratings and the rumors and the trades really start happening. It creates a sport for us to follow, where if the NFL had pushed back the draft a month or two until hopefully this thing dissipates somewhat, I would have left like a real hole in the middle in the sports calendar. I mean, there's enough of a hole there now, but if you take the draft out of that, I think it's good they kept the draft there. That's guess what I'm saying.
Who suffers the most here, Gary, in all this? I mean, maybe some of the players who have got red flags who don't get to be evaluated, or is it the GMs, or can they just get through it and it'll all be fine and dandy?
Well, I think that, you know, like I mentioned before, I think that the players who needed a second look after maybe not having a great combine or not running a great 40 time, I think it hurts them not having the workouts. You know, even though it should really be what they did on the field, that should be what's being judged, not how you run in a pair of shorts in April in the field house at your college. But, I mean, that stuff is important as far as the NFL is concerned. So I think the players who really needed to make either a second impression or in some cases a first impression if they weren't at the combine, I think those players are hurt the most, because there are lots of stories every year about, you know, the late rising guys leading up to the draft and then the guys who kind of fall a couple rounds because they didn't do well in from mid-March to mid-April. I think the teams will adjust They have enough information for the most part right now to hold the draft, you know, tonight. They're always thirsty for as much intel as they can get, so they'll just have to work a little harder this year without the in-person visits to pick that up.
We're talking with longtime NFL writer and author Gary Myers. Gary, you wrote, I think it came out, correct me if I'm wrong, 2015, Brady versus Manning.
Right.
2015. So, you know, at the time, obviously, it was the end of Peyton Manning's career. Tom Brady was still playing and is still playing. And obviously Peyton Manning at the end of his career at a much younger age though than Tom Brady went to Denver. Could you have imagined 5 years later that Tom Brady would be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer?
Oh yeah, I had it all figured out. No, I will say this. I mean, I'm shocked that Tom left. But I will say this. In 1993, when Joe Montana got traded from the 49ers to the Chiefs, I remember writing, all bets were off. Any player, no matter who you are, going forward, can finish their career with another team, and I'll never be surprised.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice leaves the 49ers. Emmitt Smith leaves the Cowboys. Ronnie Lott leaves the Niners. Just go on and on and on. Peyton Manning, you know, as you mentioned, goes to Denver. But I really thought, after 20 years in New England, and as entrenched as Tom was in that community and with that team, that there was going to have to be really extenuating circumstances, such as him getting cut or Belichick telling him to retire. Those are the only two ways I thought he would leave New England. I didn't think he would go on his own. Now, I know he wasn't getting the signals that he wanted to get necessarily from Belichick. You know, he didn't publicly make all these pleas to Tom to come back, or even on the phone, didn't say, Tom, of course I want you back, and show him the money he wanted. That's I understand that didn't happen, but still, I thought it would take more than that for Tom to leave, and I still have a hard time believing he's not going to be in New England. But as far as evaluating his opportunities of where he can go, if it was the Bucs or the Raiders, I can see him in Tampa. I was always able to see him in Tampa a lot sooner than I saw him going to Las Vegas.
Right.
And then playing for a franchise has been always kind of wacko for a coach who's different, I would say. I never saw Tom wanting to play for John Gruden. Bruce Arians seems like a good fit. I will say this. I hope it ends well for Tom in Tampa. I like him very much. He was very cooperative with me when I did the book. He's a really good guy. And I just hope he's not pushing it too far by not walking away now.
Where do you think Cam Newton ends up in the end of this thing?
I, you know, I think that if I was a team that needed a quarterback – or just wanted to bring somebody in like Newton to see where he's at and give him a chance to be my backup for you, 9 times out of 10, I would sign Jameis Winston ahead of Cam Newton.
Wow. At this point.
Newton, to me, is damaged goods. He's had so many injuries over the last couple of years. I think he'd be less receptive to a secondary role on a team where Jameis, I think, will – I think he'd like to wind up on a team with an established quarterback. If he can't go in and start somewhere or compete for a starting job, I think he, you know, this is going to sound really bizarre, but you know where he would benefit the most by being in 2020 as a backup quarterback?
Tampa Bay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they couldn't have gotten Brady, and I know they were interested in Rivers also, but if they couldn't have gotten either one of those guys – no, I'm sorry, it was Bridgewater, not Rivers.
Right.
It was Brady, then Bridgewater, and then Winston was their top three guys. So if they couldn't have got either one of those, if they couldn't have gotten Brady or Bridgewater, they were planning on re-signing Winston. I think he would benefit tremendously by being with Brady for a year. And whether, you know, Tom goes ahead and plays a second year or not, then I think Winston would be in a better position to either succeed Brady in 2021 if Tom decides to retire, or go someplace else and start and resurrect his career, having been exposed to the TB12 way for a year and learning his work. Jameis is a hard worker, from everything I understand, but just learning what it's like with his preparation and the way he is around his teammates and the kind of leader he is, and learning when it's better to live another play by throwing the ball away or taking a sack than it is throwing into triple coverage. I think Jameis would have benefited tremendously from a situation like that. Obviously, it's not going to happen, right, or it doesn't appear it's going to happen, but I thought that would have been a good spot for him.
Gary, last thing.
I don't know where Jameis Winston's going to wind up, or I don't even know where Cam Newton's going to wind up, because it doesn't appear the Chargers want either one of them, because they're going to go with Tyrod Taylor, and I think they'll draft a quarterback either at six or they'll move up to get one of those guys.
Gary, the Browns, again, have a new coach. Kevin Stefanski, again, have a new GM, and Andrew Berry. They made some interesting moves this offseason. Jack Conklin to play right tackle, Austin Hooper. They bring in Case Keenum, a quality veteran backup. The expectations were high last year, and they fell on their face. What do you think of what the Browns have done this offseason, and what are your expectations for them if we have a season in 2020?
First of all, I'm just completely blown away they have a new coach in general manager, because they've been the model of stability over
no
these
doubt.
Years with
yes.
Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah.
I mean, it all really depends on Baker Mayfield. I always think it depends on the quarterback. Browns have good players on their team. And Mayfield regressed tremendously last year. He was supposed to take a step forward, having Beckham there, and he took a step backwards, and Odell was hurt most of the year. I don't know what they have in Mayfield.
That's the question.
You know, Adam, you can relate to this a little bit because you've been in New York, but at the time they drafted him, and even more so today, he reminds me of Mark Sanchez.
Ooh,
and
not good.
I don't know if it's because neither one of them are 6'5", and they both wear number six. Now you say, ooh, but, you know, Sanchez made the AFC Championship game
true.
His first 2 years.
That's true.
That doesn't sound too bad. But, then he took a big step backwards and then got involved with the Tebow situation with the Jets. And then his career, you know, just basically, you know, went to hell after that.
Right.
But there's just something about Mayfield that reminds me of Sanchez. I don't know if it's the way he moves on the field or they even look a little bit alike. And, you know, for the Browns, for the sake of the Browns fans, I hope I'm really wrong about that and that Mayfield is, you know, two levels above Sanchez. But that's what I see right now. And, you know, whether Kevin Stefanski can, you know, work some magic with Mayfield, like he and Pat Shurmur did with Case Keenum in Minnesota a few years ago. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah,
he needs really good coaching, which clearly he has not received in Cleveland in the 2 years that he's been there. And maybe Stefanski's the guy to, you know, find the key to that and get this guy to the next level. And you know, if Beckham can stay healthy, and you know, Beckham and Landry are a pretty good tandem there, but you would never know it by watching the Browns last year.
No doubt. Gary, stay safe, man. All the best to you and your family. Thanks for joining us.
And thanks to you guys and everybody in Cleveland, and I always appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks. You got it.
Thanks,
Gary Myers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.